Psalm 119 and look at verse 97. The Bible says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every evil way." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We do ask and pray that you'd bless it to our hearts and that you would have your way with us. Help us to desire your word more and more. Help us to delight in it as the psalmist sings. Edge that in our hearts tonight. Help us to be attentive tonight, Father, and focused in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been enjoying the series of Psalm 119, and tonight I'm going to skip some verses from where I left off last time, and we'll come back to those verses at a later time. But Psalm 119, it relates to the Word of God time and time again. If you missed the first section, then it reminds you again in the second section of the Word of God. It keeps going and going and going. It gets better and better. And tonight we'll look at the delightful student. Previous devotions, we looked at the diligent, the determined, the devoted student. And tonight we'll look at the delightful student of the Word of God. There are different people that have different views or attitudes toward the Word of God. Amen? Some good, some bad. And there are different people that their attitude toward the Word of God are bitter. It's hard. Well, at least to them, it's bitter, because we know it's sweet after hearing our text. John chapter 6, verse 60, the Bible says, "There many, therefore, of his disciples," speaking about Jesus, "when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it?" Now, this is when he was referring to himself as the bread of life that's come down from heaven. And so is it referring to, or does this relate to, a hard to understand or hard to accept? Is this hard to, get a grip on, or hard to receive? I believe it's the second. Only because notice what Jesus replies. He says, "And when he knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you?" So it wasn't that they weren't grasping the full, picture of the bread being him that's come down from heaven. I'm sure that they were getting the gist of what he was trying to say. They just didn't want to receive it. And the Bible says that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing should offend them. And by the way, there is no peace to the soul that is offended by the Word of God. You know why so many people are disgruntled at the preaching or the prophets of our day? Because they are offended by what they hear. And therefore they have no peace. And they get embittered and hardened to the Word of God more and more. These people were offended to the very point that they didn't want to walk with Jesus anymore. Can you imagine that? I mean, we sit here and we contemplate and meditate on the fact of how would it be like if we were sitting under the ministry of Jesus and following him. Man, that would be wonderful. You know, we think about that. The times of Christ and when he ministered, how would that be like? And sitting at his feet, like, and you got these disciples. Notice what the Bible says. It says this in verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." We're talking about Jesus Christ. Next time someone gets offended under your ministry because you're preaching the Word of God and they leave, think about that. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're not talking about any kind of teacher. This is God in the flesh teaching, and people couldn't handle it. His words were bitter to them. They were hard. They didn't want to receive it. And do you ever wonder why that takes place? Why do people get offended at the Word of God? In the parable of the four souls, we find a heart that is being offended. because of the word of God. The Bible calls it stony ground, hard heart. Why were they offended? Well, the Bible says because the tribulation, persecution arises because of the word. By and by, he is offended. And this is the very same group that received the word of God, supposedly with joy. How's that happen? Think about that for a moment. The very same group that receives in the beginning the word of God with joy. Now they're offended by the very thing that supposedly saved them. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. So some view the word of God to be hard or bitter. I wish I can labor here some more, but I have no time tonight. Some view the word of God to be sweet. Notice what Jesus says to his disciples or his other disciples. He said in them in verse 67, he said, will ye also go away? And you know the response of Peter. You know what he said. Where are we going to go? Like, truly, where are we going to go? Go back to our vomit? You know, go back to our old life? You know what you were saved from? You know how that didn't satisfy? You know how that left a bitter taste in your mouth? You know those things? You know how the world has nothing to offer? No, you have the words of eternal life. They understood that what Jesus had was sweet. The words of eternal life are sweet. There's no doubt about that. They're eternal. They're life. They give life to a person. And they understood that. First John, the Apostle John says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I like what William MacDonald said about this. He said, when John says that his commandments are not grievous or burdensome, he says, he does not mean that they are not difficult, but rather that they are the very things which born-again people love to do. When you tell a mother to take good care of her baby, you are telling her what she loves to do. Isn't that right? Mothers, amen, nursing your newborn baby. The commandments of the Lord are the things which are best for us and the things in which our new nature takes wholeheartedly a delight in. And it's true. We know for a born-again believer that the words of God, they're not grievous. They should not be grievous. Are they difficult to apply? Yeah. Are they difficult or hard in a sense to maintain? Absolutely. But our heart wants to follow after those things. It delights to do thy will. But, you know, we do them by the grace of God. Do we fail and fall? Absolutely. But there's that sweet desire. There's a delight to go after the things of God. They're not bitter. If you have bitterness or an offense toward the word of God, there's something severely wrong with your heart. Severely. Could be unregenerated heart. Because that's the unregenerated heart bucks against the word of God. Bucks. Where one that's saved, you know, they struggle, but they receive. I remember when I got saved, I lifted up the Bible and I said, Lord, whatever you want from me, I think the very same night I got saved, you want me to do from this book, I want to do it. I know it's going to be difficult, but I know you're going to give me the grace to do it. And 16 years later, he's given me the grace to do it. It is still difficult and hard, but it's a delight. And it ought to be. For some people, it's sweet. And tonight's challenging question, what kind of attitude do you have toward the word of God? Do you have a bitter attitude toward the word of God, or a sweet attitude toward the word of God? I want to give you five characteristics in our passage that the psalmist had toward the word of God. First of all, I want you to see his affection. Have a look at verse 97. He says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, he didn't just love the word of God. I mean, he was in love with the word of God. You say, how do you know? Look at the verse 2 words. Oh, how. When I see that, I see some emotion there. Ha! This is someone that was in love with God's law. Someone that was in love with the commandments that were given to him. The instruction that were laid out. He loved them. He was in love with them. In verse 98, we see a glimpse of one of the reasons why the psalmist loved the word of God. Have a look. Verse 98. He says, though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. Because it made him wise. Wiser than his enemies that he dwelt with. He says, I dwell among these people. But your word has made me wiser than these people. He acknowledged that the word of God made a difference in his life, in his mind, in his heart. Listen, in his decision and his direction. To the world, they're foolishness. They mock and scoff and laugh. They do. Maybe even to the carnal person that claims to have Christianity. But to the one that is saved, you know how Jesus is to you? Sweet. He's a sweet. He's precious. Yeah. But to the enemies, they have no idea. To the one that's not saved, they have no clue what Jesus, the living word, means to us and the written word means to us. A man of God once said, the humble believer, equipped with the wisdom of the word, can see more on his knees than his enemies can on his tippy toes. Amen? The word of God makes the foolish man wiser. Not only his affection, notice his attention. Look at verse 99. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Why does he have more wisdom than his teachers? Why? Because, well, the Bible says simple. He meditates upon the word of God. He thinks about the things that he's being taught. Can someone teach or sit in learning without thinking? Absolutely. It's called going through the motions. It's called having a vocation without a desire. Just doing it because I get paid to. You know, we want to do it because we're called to. Anyone that teaches and preaches, amen. Not because we get paid to, but because we're called to. And you got fire in your bones. And you know that the word of God is it needs to be treated with respect and honor. But he meditated on it. He was a student of the word that thought about it. He allowed what he allowed in his ears and his head to come down to his heart and sink in. That's important, that we have the word of God sinking in our hearts. When Jesus foretells his death, he exhorts his disciples to meditate on his words, because they were more fascinated with the works of Christ than the words of Christ. You see, the accounts in the gospel, they marveled. Yes, they marveled at his authority in which he gave his word. But sometimes the word just went over their heads. And constantly he said, ye that have ear, you know, let him hear. And over in this passage, you don't have to turn there. I'm not getting you to turn them. You might want to write the reference down for later for the sake of time, but you could just listen. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 43, he says, and they that were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone, at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, look at this, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of what that saying. Why? Why were these hid from their eyes? Was it because God in his determined decree purposed to hide some things from his disciples? Now, that wouldn't make sense in this particular context, only because he's urging them to listen up and pay attention. Right? That wouldn't make sense at all. I really believe the disciples had it in their hearts that the Messiah was going to rule and reign. And so whatever he said would have been foreign, like dead, die. You know what Peter said? There's no way you're going to die. You know what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane? You know what happened? They all fled. They didn't realize what was taking on. What's going on? This wasn't supposed to happen. Jesus wasn't supposed to be captured. So to them, and he had to remind them time and time again, they thought the millennium had come. They thought this is it. They didn't think about death and dying and suffering. They didn't think they were ever going to go through death and dying and suffering. So every time Jesus spoke or went over, all they thought about was glory. Who's going to sit on your left and right? That's all they were thinking about. And let me just say something to you. If you're not paying attention, meditating upon what God has for you, you'll miss it go over your head. Because you have preconceived ideas already. You know, God cannot break through to your heart because you already have your life determined. It's like God, when he speaks, it hits a brick wall. Bang, and it just falls. Bang. It's not that the word of God cannot break through that, because we know the word of God is like a hammer. It's not that it can't fulfill its purpose. It's just your heart. It's fixed and determined already. But can I say this? If I completely open my life or completely surrender my will to the Lord's word or will, and he has my full attention, and I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do. That's meditation. I'm really meditating on the word. God, I am willing and ready to do whatever you want me to do. I don't have any preconceived plans and ideas. The word of God is not going to fit in my life in such a way where I've already determined. I am willing to let go to allow you to do whatever you want me to do. You want to change my life? You want to change my plans? You know, I've told the Lord I'm here to stay. I've told him that many times. Every now and then I talk to the Lord and I said, Lord, I know you have me here. But if at any time you want to intervene and change those plans, I'm willing and ready to go. Willing and ready. And every now and then I'll share that with my wife so she's not getting comfortable, just in case the Lord wants us to go. I'm meditating and on the word. I'm watching and seeing. Listen, this is something that God wants in every single person that delights in his word. He wants them to be attentive to the word of God and willing to do whatever it takes, with how the Lord shows them. Look at the next verse, 100. Why does he have more wisdom than his teachers? Why? Look at verse 100. I understand more. Why? Than the ancients. Why? Why? Because I keep thy precepts. Because he was a doer of what he meditated upon. He acted upon what he heard. Why? Because he loved it. Why? Because he knew it made him wise. He was a wise builder. You know what Jesus said? He that hears my word and does it, I would liken him to a wise builder. It's what James says. Those that are doers of the word are blessed in their deeds. Notice the application. Look at verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. The psalmist knew that there would be certain things that would hinder his walk with God. He knew it. He says, I have refrained. You know, living the Christian life doesn't happen by accident. You don't slip up and say, oh, I'm going to get rid of this or get rid of that. You have to purposely say, this is out of my life and I'm going to make determined decisions to do it. You know, as Daniel said, I will not defile myself with the king's meat, nor with his wine. Why did he say with his wine? The king's meat wasn't offered to idols in any way. Why the wine? Because it was alcoholic. Amen. We've got two kinds of wine in the Bible. Yeah, one that is fermented that will make you drunk, and one that's good and pure. He says, I don't want that kind of wine. That's what I believe anyway. I believe there's two kinds of wine. One that is absolutely toxic, and the other one that is beautiful and fresh. And that's what I believe they drank in the Last Supper. The fruit of the vine. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to even look at it. He determined to do some things and he determined to abstain from wicked things, and that takes a decision. This doesn't come by accident. You know, Daniel's life spoke. So how did it speak? How did his life speak? He says, I will not stop praying, even if there's a law put in place that's going to take my life. We say, how does a man have that kind of determination and commitment? Just applying and living out the word of God. Having an affection to it, being attentive to it, and applying it. Even when it doesn't make sense. I'm just going to do what's right, what's biblically right. I'm going to live it out by the grace of God. We have all heard the proverb, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. We've all heard that proverb. And so he makes it very clear. In Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. Let's keep moving along. Look at Psalm 119:102. It says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. This is, I believe, the Old Testament equivalent to Peter's words, to whom shall we go? Amen. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? That has the words to eternal life. I have not departed from thy judgments, which he taught me. I'm going to keep them. You know why? Because they were in his heart. You know, if they're in your heart, they're not easy to slip. You don't forget them so easily when they're in your heart. But notice his appetite now. Psalm 119:103. Look at this. How sweet are thy words unto my taste? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet is honey? How sweet is honey? honey is sweet, but God's word is sweeter.
Amen.
Amen. Go home and have a mouthful, a spoonful of honey. But what happens? By the way, God's word is no preservatives. Amen. Pure. Pure. They only get preservatives when people try to tamper with it. Amen. They try to add and take away from it. Spoil the word of God. Proverbs chapter 25, 26. The Bible talks about if you have too much honey, what does it make you? Sick. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much that is sufficient, lest you what? Vomit it out. It's this talk principle of a proverb talking about just live in moderation, even with good things. But you can never get sick of the word of God, no matter how much you eat from it. Amen. No much. As a matter of fact, we need more of it, more of it. We lack. We need more and more. You can never get sick of the word of God. Never. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. The weeping. Can you imagine that kind of ministry? Preaching and preaching and preaching your heart out and not nothing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know what kept him going? His appetite for the word of God. That's what kept him going. Listen, he wasn't motivated by results. He wasn't motivated about sending a prayer letter to somebody saying, oh, you know, Jerusalem got saved. No, Jerusalem is rebelling. He wasn't worried about what people thought. He was just worried about fulfilling his God-given call as a prophet of God to proclaim the word of God, and he did it well. That's all he was worried about. By his own testimony in Jeremiah 15:16, he says this, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I just, every time I think about that, I think about a weeping prophet having an appetite to do the will of God. And what was it? Just preach, son. Don't worry about the results. Just preach. Just proclaim the word of God. In the midst of Job's being thoroughly tested, remember when he said, the Lord knows my way, when he has tried me, I should come forth as gold. Remember that? When he was thoroughly under the pump of testing, everything stripped from him, taken away. What did he say? He says, my foot have held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know how Job passed the test? Because he had an appetite for this book. You know, there was a biography written about Job by God and given to the devil. Here you go. There's no one like him, Job. By God. God wrote the biography. Amen. You know why God can write such testimony about Job? Because he valued this book, the Word of God. You say he really did have. Well, he had the Word of God, the Word, the voice of God. He had the Word of God. This is the Word of God, amen? Yes. We have the Word of God in our hands, but Job had the Word of God and he valued the Word of God. He esteemed the Word of God. He loved the Word of God more than his food. He esteemed it more than his food. You do that? Do you love this book more than your food? That's why I remember we heard on Sunday, no man lives on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Why is it times when we read the word of God or when we're under the word of God, when we hear preaching, it's not as sweet? Why do you think that happens? Perhaps our affections are not on things above. Perhaps our attention is not what it should be. We're somehow distracted by something or someone, or perhaps we're not applying what we hear, so it's not sweet anymore, it becomes bitter. You know why the psalmist had a spiritual healthy appetite? Because he tasted that the Lord is gracious. He tasted and he saw that the Lord is good. Last and we're done. Look at his appreciation. Psalm 119, 104. Look at this. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Amen. Through the word of God, the psalmist is able to understand good from evil. He's able to distinguish from what's right and what's wrong. But more than that, more than just coming to an understanding between the difference of good and evil, he abhorred evil. He didn't just say, oh, that's good, that's bad. I hate every false way. Where did he get that from? Where? Through the precepts and the word of God, the law of God. You know what I believe with all my heart? I believe that before you can have the right kind of hatred for sin, you've got to appreciate the God of the word. He, through these pages, saw a holy God. There's no way you can have a hatred for sin like God does if you don't know the God of the Bible. Because the Word of God reveals the very nature of God and who He is. How can He have such vehemently, a hatred for the Word of God, for evil from the Word of God? How? Because he knew God. Job eschewed evil. Same. Every man of God. Everyone that is a Bible student has to hate the things that God hates. Has to be done. And that's why we're living in a sickening kind of Christianity today. It's cowards because they don't call sin for what it is. That's why. But God does. You just have to read this book and you see how God marks out sin, calls it out, hates it, and deals with it. And the psalmist said, I hate it too. I hate it. You know, you begin to love what God loves and hate what God hates. When you're in the Word, when you see the God of the Word, you see the words are sweet, but you also see that the wickedness of this world is bitter as wormwood. You just have to see in the pages of this book the heart of God. The two great attributes, the love of God, but also the holiness of God. Now, in closing, the psalmist had a great appreciation for the Word of God, so much so that he sung about it. And I love what Sayad Spurgeon said. He said this: honey itself is outstripped in sweetness by the Word of the Lord. When the psalmist fed on it, he found it sweet. But when he bore witness of it, it becomes sweeter still. How wise is it on our part to keep the Word, but on our palate by meditation, and on our tongue by confession. It must be sweet to our taste when we think of it, or it would not be sweet to our mouth when we talk of it. May God help us be delightful students of the Word of God. Amen.